So, the way of the world is to praise dead saints and prosecute living ones. This is Dr. Herbert Albiely, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today, which, by the way, is heard around the world. We have friends in Switzerland and in Africa and the Philippines and you name it, Australia, across the United States too, of course, in Canada and South America, all listening to these talks within moments after they're recorded, which is quite an honor, quite an honor. The way of the world is to praise dead spirits and prosecute live ones. Nathaniel Howell said that. Very, very interesting statement. The Catholic Church has a very definite procedure on canonizing saints. And their procedure is, we want to make sure that they really were saintly people, that they really did do something remarkable. And of course, when they do it to a priest, and the priest's been around for a while, it should be definite. I mean, you know, he's observed by all the other priests, and who is better to observe a priest than a priest? And who is better to observe a golfer than another golfer, you know? Is that really the best way to do things? I would say not really. A saint, if we want to say a saint, that's a person who's done some rather wonderful thing for the world and for life, is a person who has done something wonderful for the world and for life, and the world knows it. The world knows it. We might go just to the religious saints first. There, this girl who found the, like Fatima, you know, she saw Jesus' mother, and as you well know, Jesus' mother was quite a girl. Jesus did not have the same respect for her that the church has. The church thinks Jesus' mother is a super girl. And she was good. I mean, you know, she had Jesus. But when Jesus was in the temple teaching, and she was outside, and she says, tell my son to get his butt out here, you know. And so they went in and told Jesus, and they said, your mother is outside with your brothers and sisters, and she wants to speak to you. And he says, my mother, my family, my brothers and sisters, you who listen to my word, you who follow what I teach, you are my mother and brother and family. You are my world. And you see, we tend to canonize the mother because she's the mother. And it really does no good. This is what we do in our life. We canonize our job because that's the channel through which we earn our money. We praise our job. We worship our job. We think we can never get a better job and so forth. And that's not a bad idea. But if we were any good, we would worship ourselves, recognize that we are super beings, we are wonderful beings, we are capable of anything we want to do. We would saint ourselves. And a lot of people have done that. They've called themselves Saint Paul, you know, Saint John. I'm not talking about the ones of the Bible. I'm talking about the ones of the telephone book. You look up the telephone book under saint, and you'll find a lot of saints in there. And these were saints that sainted themselves. And that's great. That's great. Good for them. But a saint should be a person who has contributed something remarkable to life, something wonderful to the world. You follow me? Someone who has, well, Madame Curie, she certainly deserves sainthood, you know, coming up with the formula of radium and so forth. And Edison, he deserved to be a saint. He didn't always live like a saint, but he deserved to be a saint for bringing forth the electric light bulb. Oh, other people would have done it if he hadn't done it, but he did it. He did it. And the Wright brothers, they got credit for creating the first airplanes. And really, there were many airplanes before the Wright brothers did it. And many people were doing it, but they didn't get the fanfare that the Wright brothers got. And so the Wright brothers were canonized. They are made saints by the flying profession. They are the fathers of flight, at least in America. In France, they have a different father. That fellow created an airplane about the same time and did a good job. So, what is a saint? What is a saint? A saint is a person who likes himself and has fun doing what he does. He likes himself and has fun doing what he does. Now, do you like yourself and have fun doing what you do? No, you don't. Because if you did, you would never complain. Never complain. So, let's say, okay, here's a board. We make a chart. Number one, a saint never complains. Mm-hmm. He enjoys life and is fun being himself. Now, that's the easiest one. The rest get harder. Now, a saint knows that he's the creator of his world. He, she, you know. You know, you use the word he, she, and then you're saying homosexual, you know. And, I mean, the homosexual language has taken over so many of these terms that it makes them into being ludicrous. But, okay, the gay he, she, you know, is having fun being themselves, whoever they may be. And they're the creator of their world, and they know they're the creator of their world. And they create their world beautiful and good. The saint does. Now, does a saint have any, evil or unhappiness in his world? And you say, surely he must. No. The saint has things happening in his world, but he doesn't label them good or bad. And you see, it's only the labeling of something good and bad that makes it good and bad. If you have an experience and you haven't labeled it, you had an experience. Did you crash your car today? Yeah. Are you okay? Yep. Quite an experience, wasn't it? Yep. Too bad. Oh, come on now. Who are you? You ignorant person. A saint would never say that. But who are you to look at me and say that my car accident was bad? Do you realize that my car needed so many repairs that I didn't have the budget for it? Now, the insurance company's giving me a brand new car, and you say that's too bad? I say, I'm very blessed. I didn't do it on purpose, but I'm very blessed because I released the car. And however the car had to be put into car heaven, it went there. And I got a new one. And wow, you saw it, didn't you? That new red Thunderbird out there, isn't that a glorious and convertible? How could you manage that? Well, the insurance company came up with X dollars, and I just added a few more to it and got what I wanted, you know? Rather than spending that money on repairs for the old car, I could spend that money on making the new car be even better than I dreamed. You know, nice. Now, no judgment. You see, a saint doesn't judge. And in the Bible, we read a lot about judgment. And judge not lest you be judged, and with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And only God judges, and even God doesn't judge. Because if God were to judge, you know what that would mean? That'd mean that God was a very poor creator. God is not a stupid person. God's not a person. God's not a creator. God is a person that God sees things in manifestation. A person. You see, right away, the minute you say God, you don't, did you ever say the absolute is a person?
No.
You can't say that, can you?
No.
You can't say the principle is a person, can you? The allness is a person. But you see, God, God, it is, God, it is, he, she is so ingratiated into our thinking system as a being. God is a loving father. God is a loving creature, a loving being. It's okay, but we limit the divine by saying it is like an anthropomorphic system for itself. We limit it to say that it looks like man. We look like God, and we haven't seen God. We've only seen God in ourselves. Now, the moment that we start to really see God, that's the moment we will really be a saint. Because then you know what we'll do? We will see everything as good and very good. We will see everything as beautiful, everything as positive, and we'll be so happy. But during the process, we're going to be persecuted. And that's true. Anyone who teaches truth is persecuted. And they're persecuted not because what they're teaching is wrong, but because they're living it. And in living it, sometimes they haven't created the people in their world to respect and understand what they're doing. And the people in their world think that they're trying to be superior to them. Now, do you think the world thinks Bill Clinton wants to be superior to humanity? Not at all. Bill wants to be like everybody else. And that's unfortunate, because he is so much better than many people visualize himself. If we could just, you see, Bill has a flamboyance about him. He has a feeling of devil may care. He has a feeling of, I'm just doing my thing. Hey, you guys put me here. You must think I'm okay, you know. And he did his thing. And then we judged him. And then, in our judgment, we went crazy. We judged him and said, everything you did is okay. And we don't mean that. We don't mean that. To be a role model for the world and the nation is quite a responsibility. To be a role model, they say a minister who has had any charges brought against him is no longer good as a minister. Now, that's for a minister of a church. But for a politician to have charges drawn against him, if he doesn't have charges drawn against him, he hasn't been a very good politician. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? That doesn't make sense. And I told you about my uncle, the minister, the Lutheran minister, who said, do as I say, but not as I do. And he merely meant that he makes mistakes. And we shouldn't follow his mistakes, but we should follow his words, which are the words of truth that he is himself learning to practice and learning to follow. So, the way the world is, it praises dead saints and persecutes living ones. Now, how do we praise dead saints? We do it in a very wonderful way. We love and bless everyone. But we love and bless the dead saints because we see in them no sin. We see in them no fault. We see in them only purity and goodness. And were they always pure and good? Did they have their time of becoming aware, in which time they made a mistake or two? Did they ever do something they shouldn't do? Ever? That's overlooked when the man becomes a saint. Well, Joan of Arc, was she a saint? They say Saint Joan, but I don't think they really mean it. Because Joan of Arc was a naughty lady. Joan of Arc did not recant. They said to Joan, God does not speak to little farm girls. And you said God told you to go and fight this war. Yes, and I won it. And we did this. And God and I did this. And God and I did this. Come on now. God talks to priests and higher church hierarchy, but not little farm girls. My goodness sakes, no way, you know. Oh, yes. If you keep that up, we're going to burn you at the stake. I can only tell the truth. Now, did she ever do any dumb stuff in her life? You bet she did a lot of dumb stuff in her life. Did she ever make silly mistakes? Sure. Made a lot of silly mistakes. Did she ever steal a potato or something like that? Sure she did. But when it came to standing up after having heard the divine in her speak, that is good. But after having heard the divine in her speak, and it worked, woo-wee, then she really stood up. Then she really stood up. Can you see why Jesus said to so many of the people who came to him for healing, go and tell no one? Take your healing and tell no one, because you're going to have to lie. If someone says, how were you healed? You're going to lie. You're going to say, Jesus healed me, and I didn't heal you. You healed yourself. You changed your own attitude. But then you took back your attitude, and you'd have to lie. You'd have to say that Jesus did this and that guy did that. Before I went to Jesus, I could not see, and now I can see, you know? No. We have to be careful. If you ever have a desire, if you ever have a desire, let one of those desires be, you don't ever want to be a saint. You don't ever want to be worshipped by anybody else. You don't ever want to have anyone look up to you, and you have to live up to what they look up to. And you don't want to be dead. You can be living in other dimensions and what have you, but you're never dead. But you don't want to be a dead saint. You don't mind being persecuted. You don't mind that at all. I was thinking the other day, if someone who was in a position to do something about it had read Mein Kampf as Hitler was in prison, and he wrote that book while he was in prison, if they had read that book and realized the goodness that was in it, and the not-so-goodness, because he was anti-Jew, but basically the goodness that was in it, and helped him edit the book, you know? Mm-hmm. Edit the book while he was in prison, to edit out those things that were limiting to success. Because anytime you're against something, then that keeps you from success. And if they could have edited that out of Hitler's book, and then Hitler would go on to carry through the rest of the desires that he had, which were very excellent, he would have been known as a savior in the world rather than a Satan in the world. You see, this is where the saint comes in. The saint comes in and being the person who can recognize greatness and recognize the little flaws that go along with it, and in the process, help them to edit those flaws so that only the greatness shines through. This is what they call oftentimes a ghost writer. Mm-hmm. Someone who helps someone write their book when their own writing talent isn't all that great. And they'll do it. Now, Hillary Clinton wrote a book recently, and as well as the boy wrote, and her book, instead of belittling Bill, instead of belittling his political history, it ennobled hers. It said she chose wisely, she chose the most genius, and she was associated with, and it spoke so well. I mean, it's a bestseller. Even before it was out, it was the bestseller because it had her name on. But it continued to be because she had a good, good ghostwriter. She didn't write all that stuff herself. She told it to somebody, and they wrote it. Because that takes time to write. It takes time to correlate all these things and do that. That's a full-time job for that person who did the book for her. And that person who did the book for her probably had a staff of 40 or 50 people helping them, doing research and making sure that it was all correct, you know. Because correctness is really important when you're writing something as significant as that. And her book is fabulous. I haven't read it, but according to reports, it's fabulous because it builds her up, builds up her family, builds up her world. She'll be running for president soon, you know. If not, she's already president, you know. She's senator from New York and everything else. Fantastic. You see, when we bless everyone, then we are a saint. When we defile others, when we belittle others, when we put others down, then we are not a saint. And we can't become saints. We can stop doing that nonsense and be wonderful, but it's a matter of what is for us fun and being ourselves. Is it fun and being ourselves to speak beautiful words, to see beautiful things in the world, to go around and acknowledge everything as glorious? Or is it fun for us to look at appearances and say, look at the brown grass out there, you know, look at the flowers here, half of them are unopened and the other half are opened. You don't say, the half that are unopened, they're going to open later, you know. But half are unopened, you know. My goodness, it sounds terrible, you know. And it's all a matter of how we approach life and how we speak our word in life and what values we have to life. Yes, we persecute the living ones. We call them Pollyanna. We call them positive thinkers. We call them everything under the sun. But as long as you will take something that the world accepts and use that to tell your story, then the world will accept you. But if you tell your story and you haven't got somebody or something to be behind what you're telling, the world doesn't accept it, and you're persecuted as being the Antichrist. Interesting, isn't it? And if we care, we're in trouble. But if we, instead of caring, just be ourselves and have fun, not be the slightest bit concerned about anything else, it's all ours. All right, my loves. The way of the world is to praise the dead saints and persecute the living ones. And I wish you all a lot of persecution. I love you.